Hello, listener, and welcome to this special end-of-year edition of Good Copy, Bad Copy, the B2B copywriting podcast, when we'll be looking at some of the best B2B content created in 2018. I'm David Maguire, Creative Director at Radix Communications, and here with me, bringing a fancy new job title, is our founder and CEO, no less, Fiona Campbell-House.
Worship me.
more than we already did.
Yes, indeed, I am no CEO because we have some news, don't we, in that things have changed a bit at Radix. So we've taken a big step forward in our life, I suppose, as a company, which means that you are now the owner of the business, owner of the business along with Sophie, because we've just had a management buyout. And if anybody would like to know more about that, there's news on B2B marketing.
Yeah, we'll put a link, but it's all very exciting and new. And the thing to reassure the listener is that you're not going anywhere just yet, are you?
I am not going anywhere for quite some time, no, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
I'm somewhat relieved. I'll be here talking to myself. So this episode, we're going to feature the best content of 2018 in B2B, because, I mean, all in all, it's been a bit of a weird old year out in the world again, hasn't it? So we wanted to finish the year on a celebratory note. So we asked various friends in the worlds of B2B to nominate their favourite pieces of content this year. We have at least 10 examples to share, if not more. And later, I'll finally get around to sharing my nominee for the B2B Content Hall of Fame. If there's great content we're not talking about, we want to hear about it. So let's continue the conversation. Send us an email or a voice memo if you're feeling fancy to podcast@radix-communications.com or tweet us at radixcom. That's RADIXCOM. So back in November, we asked friends, colleagues, and clients throughout the world of B2B to nominate and then vote for their favourite pieces of B2B content this year. And we've unscientifically compiled a kind of notional top 10 based upon on those comments. So at number 10, we have Arco's Be Sure campaign, which was put together by Born and Raised.
So this is the one that won the Best Use of Thought Leadership at the B2B Marketing Awards the other week.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the one around the fact that just because a piece of safety equipment is CE marked doesn't mean it's safe, which is a pretty worrying thought. And definitely, I mean, as someone that I've been writing about safety issues and B2B safety for years, so it's great to see really good content in that sector, and Arco's someone that's always done it well, as well as this campaign. I really enjoyed their it's not just PPE campaign this year, where, you know, so it's not just PPE, it's being able to go home at the end of your shift and be a dad. You know, it's not just eye protection, it's being able to see your grandchildren grow up, you know, that kind of stuff. And positive messages in safety are always hard to do. So I really appreciated that. And that's one of two nominations that Adam Harper at B2B Marketing made for us. So hi, Adam, happy Christmas to you. And thanks very much for that nomination. At number 9, we have SI Partners with their Marcoms Agency Growth Survey. Andy Rogerson of Grist nominated this, and he said, "A compelling, research-driven thought leadership program identifying levers and barriers to growth for Marcoms agencies. What's not to like?"
Yeah, and I think of all of the ones that have been nominated, this is the one that's kind of most relevant to us,
yeah.
I guess, which is a plus in its favour. Uh-huh. As Andy said, you know, this is a piece of research that looks into what Marcoms agencies are doing in terms of their growth strategy, but what might be holding them back from growth. Mm. And what stood out for me in it is that it's by SI Partners, which is sort of management consultancy for agencies, and their expertise really shines through in it. So they're doing that classic content marketing thing of sharing a lot of their expertise, but giving you the impression that there's a lot more to be had. And you kind of feel like if you are an agency and you do have a growth strategy and you're not quite sure how to achieve it, you kind of do want to get in touch with them for some help. So I think it works on that basis.
Yeah, and that original primary research stuff, absolutely, it always works really well. I know that Orbit Media have dug a lot into that this year, just about just how effective that is in content marketing to have a bit of research that no one else has got. It's always a powerful tactic.
Absolutely. And you know, and they, I think they've interviewed 600 agencies or surveyed 600 agencies here. So it's a very good bit of primary research.
Yeah, it's not a small sample.
It's not.
At number 8, we have Goldman Sachs with drones reporting for work. And Paul Hewardine? Who knows? Do we ever decide?
I'm sorry, Paul, but I don't know the answer.
We just know him as Paul. Hi, Paul. Yes.
Hi, Paul.
But Paul says, despite being general all-round pantomime villains, I've got to nominate Goldman Sachs for their interactive briefings. This one is particularly good.
Yeah, and I think this is one of, I think, three in this format that were nominated. So this is a kind of scrolling infographic style, or sort of scrolling multimedia infographic. I don't know exactly what you'd call it.
A long-ass web page.
Long-ass web page, but it's got some interactive content and some photography and stuff in it as well. I agree. I think it's engaging. It's well written. It kind of shows the information in a visually compelling way. So it could have been quite a boring infographic, but it actually uses kind of photography and different elements to bring it all to life, which I really liked. And I also found that it doesn't outstay its welcome. So it gets across what it wants to say about the market for drones, and it doesn't hang around longer than that. So top marks on that score.
Yeah, absolutely. I at the start of it, it was just kind of, you know, well, drones are an important market opportunity for these reasons, you know, and here are some nice stats. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is stuff I've seen before, you know, just really nicely presented. But then it gets on to the use cases and the bits where you're kind of, you know, through the scrolling web page, you kind of get a sense of a drone, you know, guiding a helicopter in, fighting a wildfire, and all of these use cases. And that's something where you just really start to go, wow, no, this is something I really haven't seen before. This is great.
Yeah, that's the bit, if I think back to it, that's the bit that stands out for me is the imagery of like how the drone pinpoints where the water needs to be dropped onto the fire.
Yeah.
So it really does bring the story to life.
And it's got the visuals, it's got the stats, and then it's just got the illustration. So yeah, really good example. Thank you for that, Paul. At number 7, we have one of a whole number of suggestions from Harry Kapoor at Velocity Partners. Hi, Harry, which is, we've gone for Cirrus Originals, A Decade of Bitcoin.
Yes, so this is another sort of scrolling infographic with interactive elements. I really like this. I think it's a really simple concept and it's really well executed. So basically it goes through, you know, what was the value of Bitcoin at various points in time, and what could that same amount of Bitcoin have got you at the top of the market, at the top of the market for Bitcoin. So it's got some really nice kind of pop culture references in it as well. And it's just a really entertaining thing to scroll through. And at each point, you know, you can click to see what that amount of Bitcoin could have got you at the top of the market. And you just want to kind of click through. It makes you want to click. So it works from that point of view.
Yeah, but some of them are positive, and some, like, you expect them to all be, you could have bought this small thing with Bitcoin and then ended up owning America.
Yes,
Yeah, you could have bought a private island. But then actually some of the other ones, that, you know, where it crashed and the bubbles, it goes the other way. So if you bought £1 million worth, you'll have £2.50. And it kind of goes backwards and forwards. And it kind of gave me a real, I don't know what the point was they were trying to get across. I think the thing for me is, it just seems like Bitcoin is a dizzyingly difficult and treacherous thing to invest in. And just at the end, I'd have liked to know what they wanted me to do next. It was lovely information, well presented, very interesting, but it just stops.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought, who are these people and what is this all about and what do they want me to do? And I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell from it at all. There's no call to action on it or anything. So then I had to go to Twitter to find out, Seros, what are they? And they, on Twitter, it just says, we're all about great content creation. So I thought, great, they're a content creation agency. That infographic was to show what kind of content they can create. And so that's really cool. But then I clicked onto their website from Twitter, and they're actually a content creation platform. So I had to click twice away from this infographic to find out what they actually do. So while it's a really, really good illustration of what can be done with their technology and their expertise, it's quite difficult for you then to engage with them. So I think maybe it sort of falls down there.
Oh, that's how come. Maybe it's at number 7 and not at number 1, but still a good contender for the top 10. Just for the record, Harry did suggest a number of them. He said, "Off where do I start? Atlassian team playbooks are fantastic. Stripe Atlas is one of the best content plays I've ever seen. And the guys at Seros Originals are doing some super fun stuff. So much great content in B2B now," which is what we're all about.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, I think at number 6, I'm going to be a bit self-indulgent and make a nomination myself, which is kind of a three-way tie for me. Because they all, to me, demonstrate the same point. And three pieces of content that really challenged my thinking this year are Chris Marr at the Content Marketing Academy, his short podcast entitled Pride, A Personal Story, and Sally Wright from Tektronix, her speech actually at B2B Ignite around staying human in a corporate world, and also a friend of the show, Paulina Yamsa.
Hi, Paulina.
Hi. the series that she's doing on LinkedIn about mistakes that she's made in her career. And the thing that those three things between them have really challenged me on this year is I'd always sort of thought that the best content marketing is always about the audience. It's always about the reader, the listener. And to an extent, that's true. But those things, in different ways, all shared stories that were intensely personal and actually painful in some cases to the person sharing. That real painful honesty and sharing something true of themselves and of their own stories, I can't deny are the pieces of content that have really stuck with me this year, just for that reason.
Yeah, and I think it's all about making an emotional connection, isn't it, with your audience? And if you have a personal story that will resonate and make a connection with them, then I think, you know, that's definitely a good thing to do.
Okay, let's move on to number 5. We're halfway into our list, and it's Nokia Bell Labs and Lonely Leap and Reaps One with their series We Speak Music. Now, this was originally nominated by Glenn Sturgis, the head of copy at Ogilvy. Hi, Glenn, and we'll hear from Glenn a bit later. He says, it's a 6-part documentary series in the making that will culminate in a duet between Reaps One and his artificial intelligence vocal twin. Doesn't sound like stereotypical B2B marketing, does it?
It doesn't. I don't think I've seen anything like this anywhere else before. It's very cool. And, you know, they've put a lot of work into this. I mean, there is a really cool, again, sort of multimedia webpage here. There's a really cool kind of teaser trailer for these 6 documentaries. I couldn't find the 6 documentaries.
Yeah, it's the in the making that's the thing here. I mean, I think when this thing drops, it drops the word that the millennials use,
course,
right?
Of course.
Given
it
reaps one, the beatboxer. But yeah, when this thing drops, I think it's going to make a massive splash in the world of B2B, assuming that the documentary art anything like as good as the stuff that's out there already, because the kind of teaser content that's out there already looks amazing.
It does look amazing, and I think that might be the point. This was my least favorite of all of the nominations. I have to say, just because, well, it Is it a brand awareness thing for Bell Labs? Because I was looking at it, and I appreciate we haven't seen the documentaries yet, but I was thinking, who is this for, and what are they trying to say beyond the fact that Bell Labs, Nokia Bell Labs, are doing really cool, innovative stuff, and you know, they're having really cool collaborations to do really cool, innovative stuff. That seemed to be the message, and it's almost like the medium is the message to me here. It's like, you know, we're doing cool, innovative stuff, and we're going to present it to you in a cool, innovative way. But there didn't seem to be any sort of particular like service being promoted or product being promoted, or you know, what is it they're trying to sell and to who? I didn't really understand who it was for. So I mean, I don't know if you got more from it in that sense than I did.
I think the only thing that I got from it was kind of a hint that there's going to be something in there about, you know, it's about AI and the human voice.
Yes.
And the interaction of those two things. So in the when we see the documentaries, you know, Bell Labs might have something amazing to show us about their capabilities in that area.
Yeah.
But until we see the documentaries, I guess we're not going to know. It's just sort of, you know, bated breath, I suppose, on this one.
Yes, but it does look really good. So, yeah, kudos to them for that.
At number four, we have another nomination from the B2B Awards. And this one is for Saxoprint and Freestyle for their Great British Postcard Competition.
So this is the Best Use of Content Marketing winner at the B2B Marketing Awards, which must have been a pretty crowded category. I imagine there was an awful lot of entrants for that category.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Adam at B2B Marketing is, you know, thinks it's funny that this campaign that had basically zero paid media budget beat all of the big agencies in this category. I don't know to what, you know, content marketing is in a very, very broad sense, a postcard competition. But it's certainly, you know, very rock and roll, and they did so well to get so many people engaged, and they got like John Lydon to judge it and say what he likes about postcards.
Fantastic.
Which for a print company is, you know, that's the print companies don't normally get that rock and roll.
They do not.
So they definitely get marks for that. Okay, and in the top three, we have a kind of a three-way tie on the votes. So we'll run through them and give some comments. And then, Fiona, I'll give you the casting vote.
Right, okay, no pressure.
Okay, so the first of our top three, the shortlist, is Kingpin with Humour and Marketing, the new B2B double act. Seems like everyone's onto B2B comedy these days.
Yeah, great minds, although Kingpin got there well before us, I have to say, because this is an article that they wrote in September and we did our podcast on B2B and comedy in October. So they beat us to it. This is a really nice blog, making the case for using humour in B2B, which we've also done, and they set out some sort of really nice reasons for doing that and some sort of evidence for why it works and why you should be doing it, and they give lots of great examples of B2B brands that have used comedy. So yeah, it's a nice persuasive piece.
We actually have a clip about this one from the person that nominated it. Here's Yvonne Deegan from Maverick International.
My name is Yvonne Deegan and I am a senior marketing manager with B2B agency Maverick International. My favourite piece of B2B content in 2018 is definitely Kingpin's article, Is Humour and Marketing the New B2B Double Act? I'm a big fan of Kingpin's content anyway, but it was this piece that really stood out for me. It provides an excellent education on why B2B content needs an injection of humour. The delivery of the article itself is also a great example of how B2B content can be intelligent, informative and humorous at the same time. And that's a combination that truly is a rarity in B2B.
And this one was also put forward by Evelyn Van Keller of Silverside over in the Netherlands. So, hi, Yvonne and Evelyn. Nice to hear from both of you. Yeah, and I agree. I kind of like the way that it makes the business case really well. Again, it's another one where I'd have kind of liked to go, great, okay, I'm sold. So now what? You know, there's a lot of why, and I'd have liked them to have gone on to a how.
Yes, I mean, there is a bit of advice at the end, so that there's some quite nice advice in there. But yes, I mean, I guess it is, it's the thought leadership thing, isn't it? It's more kind of top of funnel than middle of funnel, if you like. But yeah, it's definitely a good topic.
Absolutely. And second of our shortlist of finalists is LinkedIn, with how LinkedIn's lead generation went supersonic.
Yeah, I am no fan of Oasis. But despite that, because there's a lot about Oasis in this piece.
It's very Britpop heavy, isn't it?
It's Oasis inspired. I mean, it's content about content, this. This yes. is a description of how they created a really brilliantly well-performing piece of content.
It's very meta.
It is very meta. And it looks and this piece and the content that it's about, both work really well. And this piece is all about how this series of sales guides, how they went about creating this series of sales guides that are the best performing pieces I think LinkedIn have ever done. And what I liked about it was, I mean, it's got personal stories in it from the creator of like his thought process of how he went through coming up with the idea for these guides. And that's not something you often get an insight into, like the actual creative process. And there's often quite a mystique around it. And he's like, well, no, I'd seen something else and I decided to just steal that idea from something else and use it for this. And it reminded me of kind of Doug Kessler's mantra of steal from far away. So be inspired by content, but not like content in your industry, but take something from another industry and apply it to yours and see how it works. And it's worked really well here. But I really like the insight into that creative process and how the whole thing was produced.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at it it was almost, for me, the Oasis stuff was almost too much. It was just like, I just enjoyed hearing about the process.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily need all of the references to you know, how sad I am that I'm not 20 anymore. But maybe that's just my personal midlife crisis speaking.
I don't miss Oasis in any way, but I did really enjoy this piece.
I must confess, I really liked the first album. Well, we parted company fairly quickly after. I think Definitely Maybe's a great album.
I was much more of a Blur person.
Pulp.
Everyone
used to say to me, Blur, Oasis, and the answer was always Pulp.
Yeah. Anyway, now we're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and that Elastica album still sounds so good. Dig it out. So that was Jason Miller at LinkedIn. That was nominated by Sonia Jefferson at Valuable Content. Hey, Sonia. And with support from Jane Morin at Corville, who said, I'll go with the LinkedIn piece. Always enjoy reading Jason Miller's work. And our final nominee on the shortlist is Conversational Marketing by HubSpot. This was nominated by Rutger Friesen. At Velocity Partners, who said, I'm normally all for a no self-promotion rule, but I just couldn't resist. I really like this format and how it enhances an engaging and highly visual way of storytelling that is often missing in B2B marketing. And we also have a clip from Glenn Sturgis, head of copy at Ogilvy.
Hi, I'm Glenn Sturgis, head of copy at Ogilvy, and I've been asked to share my thoughts on HubSpot's conversational marketing piece, which is one of the best pieces of B2B content I think I've seen this year. It's meaningful, it's relevant. Maybe I'm just the target audience, but it's got something to say. And the way it says it, the typography, the visualizations, and the format all amplify the message that conversational marketing, at its best, is immediate, personal, responsive, helpful, and human. And all these great qualities are reflected in the HubSpot content that's part of this campaign. Chapeau, HubSpot.
Chapeau indeed. So HubSpot was very well liked among our nominators. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's interesting because now you say this was nominated by Rutger at Velocity and it's one of their own pieces. So I didn't know that, and reading through, I thought, this really feels like a Velocity piece.
Yeah.
So it's got that hallmark all over it, and this is, I mean, you know, Velocity used to do a lot of slide chairs, and this is like an updated form of a slide chair, isn't it?
It's their Velocity string thing, isn't it?
It's the Velocity string. So it functions in the same way. Yeah. It's like got small bits of copy married up with some really nice design in sort of slides, and you click through to read the whole thing, and it works really well. It's really slick, and it makes you want to click through from page to page. It's about conversational marketing, and obviously it practices what it preaches, so it's written in a conversational way. So, you know, we always talk about content should show, not just tell, and yeah. It really shows how conversational marketing, how conversational style can engage people. And one of the other things I liked about it, which is the same sort of things we liked about the Goldman Sachs drones piece, is that it does show you examples.
Yes.
It shows you examples of, you know, a chatbot working, and, you know, sort of two or three examples of conversational marketing in action, which I really liked. I thought that really brought it to life. So it worked really well in that way too.
Absolutely. I think if I'm honest, I like that bit. I'd have liked to have got to that bit just 10% quicker. I think, you know, it's so much fun. It's almost enjoying itself slightly too much, and they maybe could have just lost a couple of transitions. But I think that's really nitpicking. I think it's a lovely thing, and I'm just so happy that as SlideShare is fading into the distance, that Velocity now have a kind of a natural successor to that kind of ranty line of argument kind of interactive format.
Absolutely, because I used to love SlideShare. I used to really like writing for it. It was like writing a poem. It's a really nice sort of exercise for writers. Although, I think you're right. I did make a little note here to say it would be interesting to know how many people clicked all the way through to the end to get to the CTA. So I think, yeah, possibly it could have been done with being just a little bit shorter, but no, I think it's a really good piece of content.
It's a lovely thing. And I'm really excited to see what else happens with this format in the next sort of 12 or 18 months.
Definitely.
Oh, well, speaking of poetry, we do actually have this from Molly at B2B Marketing.
I didn't open your email. The headline totally sucked. A poem by Brian McCready. Dear B2B brands, please forgive me. I'm not being rude. I don't want you to fester or brood. I'm not being difficult, nor tough, nor defeatist. I don't want you to feel ignored or mistreated. It's just that I'm busy, I'm hectic, I'm swamped, and your email didn't grab me, didn't act as a prompt. It got lost in the noise. It got masked by the crowd. It sat there quite hushed, not shouting out loud. For my inbox has become a dire, endless battle. 200 plus emails a day, rubbing shoulders like cattle. I just haven't the time to read through them all. I've got too much on to trawl through the sprawl. I've other things to do, other things on the go, like hitting my objectives, priorities, you know. So unless your mail's opening line is just right, you're going to have to get used to a fright. Your email is just noise, just wallpaper to me, like a tiny drop of water in a vast open sea. There's only one way to swim and not sink. Only one way to ensure your click-throughs don't stink. And that's to make sure the benefits I'll get are laid out super clear from the very outset. For the art of persuasion is based on one thing, and that's knowing the value that you're truly bring. How your product or service will improve my life, my problems you'll solve, how you'll end my strife, which means focusing on the challenges I face and bringing me ideas to put them in their place. Your unmissable offer is all about you, and frankly, quite bluntly, I couldn't give a poo. Don't talk about yourself or the cool things you do. That's not the way to achieve cut through. Just send me something personal, full of empathy, and never forget to articulate what's in it for me.
And thanks, Molly, and happy Christmas to you and to everyone at B2B Marketing. So, Fiona, I'm going to put you on the spot and say, of our shortlist, what is your adjudication of the best piece of B2B content in 2018?
Well, you know, best is always completely subjective, isn't it? But of the ones that we've looked at, I think my favourite is the LinkedIn one, is Jason Miller's piece about how he created these sales guides. I just really like it because it's It's really useful information. It's information that's new to me. It's like advice about creation, content creation that I hadn't seen elsewhere. And it's really interesting to read. And it's a really kind of personal story as well. So it kind of ticks all of those boxes for good content.
Oh, fantastic. So congratulations to Jason and to LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
You win absolutely nothing, but some, you know, so our best wishes and our undying esteem, which is worth more than a prize.
That's right. And I think we do have one more piece of content to talk about, David, because you haven't told us yet who your nomination is for the Radix B2B Content Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we've held on to this one for a little while because we had a couple of packed editions of the podcast. But the piece of content that I really love and have just loved, as you know, for 10 years probably every year, is the Maxon Motor Catalog. Which doesn't sound incredibly creative, does it? A catalog. I have a copy here. It is not small. All those pages, those lovely pages, just so the, you know, it's a thing that just demands to be taken seriously, you know, when it just lands on your desk with this resounding you know, that's a piece of content that you really, you know, that you take seriously. Just what I love about it, I mean, this has been going since before anybody spoke really talking about content marketing, but it's not just a list of products. You know, it's for design engineers who, you know, might only need to specify a motor once every 6 months, once a year or something. So although they're highly trained, you know, they need a refresher. And it's just got, it's got in circuit diagrams, and it's got all the tolerances, and it's got all the formula and all of the graphs and the, you know, and just schematics, it used to come with a sort of a DVD-ROM with CAD drawings of everything. It just makes life so easy for a design engineer. You know, and with being a big, heavy thing, you know, it's a reference book as much as it's a product catalogue. And the combination of those two things is really, really clever. Much anything else, tactically, enables them to get specified into new designs really early, which is important for Maxon because they make like the best motors in the world, so they ain't cheap. Mm. And if it goes to procurement to decide, procurement's going to just choose somebody cheaper.
Yeah.
But this enable, you know, but it's a brave procurement manager that, you know, goes with a different motor from the one that's specified for the sake of 50 cents or something. Mm-hmm. And so this really, you know, just this positions Maxon as the friend of the design engineer, because it's just this serious piece of content that's not marketing fluff.
Yeah, and I think this really shows the value of actually investing in your bottom of funnel content. Mm. Because, you know, this is something we've talked about, that content marketers have tended to focus on the top and the middle of the funnel, and they don't want to look at the bottom of the funnel because it's all producty and me, me, me. But this really shows that you can take the principles of content marketing and make really, really useful content at the bottom of the funnel here, where people are making purchasing decisions, and make content that they just want to keep and come back to and refer to. And, you know, that's, yeah, invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, it stays on people's desk. When you talk about investment, I mean, the cost of posting this out, yeah, feel the weight of that.
It's quite heavy, listener.
It's not light. You know, the cost, I mean, that must cost them, I don't know, £5 or £10 to post each one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's crazy, but totally worthwhile.
It is a bit like the Yellow Pages. Yeah, it's not far off.
Yes, you could stand on it to kiss somebody tall. Well, anyway.
I don't know what you're suggesting.
So this is the point where traditionally you have to tell me whether or not you accept my nomination for the B2B Content Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, I think... Well, your love of the Maxon Motor Catalogue is well known at Radix. And, you know, you quite often get this catalogue out and show people, you know, how good product content can be. So I think definitely, definitely...
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for, not just in this episode, but in 2018. Thanks to everyone who contributed nominations or voted in this episode, and thanks also to everyone who came onto the podcast throughout the year to share their thoughts and their wisdom with us. We already have some great interviews recorded with people like Claire Mason from Man Bites Dog and Lasse Lund from Danfoss, so they're ready to share with you in 2019, so listen out for those. If you'd like to carry on talking about the year's best content, or if you'd just like to say hi, do get in touch. You can email us at podcast@radix-communications.com, or you can send us a voice memo, or just find us on Twitter at radixcom. So then, it just remains to wish you a magical Christmas season and a peaceful and prosperous new year.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast through the year, and have a wonderful holiday and new year.
Until next time, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your client feedback be light.